Since September at Kern Money, we've been thinking about what it means to be present in the kingdom of God, to have an awareness of the kingdom of God in the middle of so many other kingdoms and allegiances that exist in our world. And as we've been thinking about that, we've been thinking about how Jesus communicated the kingdom to others. And over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about kingdom tales that Jesus told and spoke in parables, told stories to help his disciples know what it would be like to follow him. And those parables often confused the crowd, but enlightened his followers. And so this morning we're going to read a very short parable. We're going to read one of these kingdom tales, which help us to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus in these days. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13. The words will also be on the screen. We're just going to begin reading at verse 33, and we're going to end at verse 35. Very, very short. He, Jesus, told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things since the creation of the world. We end there, giving thanks to God for his word to us and how precious it is that we have it in our own language. If you've ever attended a launch party of anything, maybe a launch of an album, or maybe you've been to a premiere of a movie, maybe you've witnessed the launch of the Olympic Games or the launch of the World Cup, you've seen something begin. You've seen a video that promoted the launch of a new model of car. You've seen it unveiled in the showroom. You'll know that those things are usually surrounded by lots of hype, lots of excitement, accompanied by photographers, free food, a fuss. Famous people are all around. When you're launching something, you want to attract attention and go large. You want to make a big impression, make a splash, get noticed. And so the launch of something is usually a big deal. We want to get people's attention right from the off. The whole point is take notice. Take notice of what's going on. Promotions and freebies are relentless in order to attract people to the launch, to make people aware that a new product or a new start, a new phase of life is about to begin because of this. And there's usually lights and sound and smoke and everything possible to draw people's attention to the launch. And in Jesus' day, people anticipated that the launch of the kingdom of God would be a big deal. They anticipated that the complete and utter destruction of Israel's enemies would happen in an instant and would be a big deal. The ushering in of God's rule was not to be missed. They anticipated hype. They anticipated lots of activity. Most people assumed that when the Old Testament prophets were speaking about the total destruction of Israel's enemies, that there would be an immediate overthrowing of the oppressive powers that Israel had had to deal with for such a long time. They anticipated an instant perfected world. And when Jesus entered the earth via Bethlehem in the womb of a virgin, grew up in Nazareth and hung around with uneducated fishermen, it didn't quite square with what they had anticipated. It didn't quite fit in with what they were looking forward to. It wasn't the launch that most people were dreaming of. You see, there was nothing all that striking about Jesus' appearance. His birth was announced to shepherds in a field. He was born in obscurity. And it didn't fit with what most people were anticipating. The big deal at the time of Jesus' birth was that there was a census taking place. That's why everyone was gathering. That was the major attraction or distraction. There was no room for Jesus when he was born. He was on the fringes from the beginning of his time on earth. And it's important for us to be aware of that context as we think about this parable, as we think about this kingdom tale. We're going to be thinking about kingdom tales that begin with the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus told lots of stories that began with that phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so the kingdom of heaven is like the story of a woman making bread. He speaks to his followers about an ordinary, everyday occurrence, making bread. It wasn't a technical challenge. There was no sign of Mary Berry or Paul Hollywood. It wasn't that kind of thing. You didn't need to be a specialized baker in order to bake bread. You didn't need to be a star baker in order to bake bread. It was a kind of everyday occurrence. And Jesus takes that story of an everyday occurrence and says, the kingdom of heaven is like this, similar to this, baking bread. He says it's like the yeast. It's like the yeast in the flour and in the dough. It's small and insignificant in comparison to all the other ingredients. It's hidden because the woman mixes it through the dough. And in the beginning of Jesus' life was hidden, was inconsequential, insignificant, unseen, out of sight, small in comparison to everything else that was going on. And we could be tempted to disregard Jesus because, let's face it, in comparison to everything else that was going on, in comparison to the other powers, in comparison to Herod, is nothing. But the beginning of Jesus' life should not cause us to dismiss him, because the kingdom of heaven is like this yeast. Isaiah the prophet said of Jesus before he came into this world, hundreds of years before he came into the world, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. His rule will increase continually. It will grow and develop eternally. It will not stop getting larger. It will not stop growing. So it doesn't matter how small it starts. If it's going to grow forever, then the start doesn't matter. It's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. And so the kingdom development, kingdom growth is gradual. That's one of the things that Jesus is saying here. Kingdom growth, kingdom development is gradual. Sure, the yeast looks insignificant. Sure, it looks small in comparison to everything else. It may even look irrelevant. But it gets everywhere eventually and transforms everything eventually. I love the line from the Aaron Keyes song, Sovereign Over Us. And in that song, he says many incredible things that are a real help to me personally. But one of the things he says that I really like is, you are working and are waiting. You are working and are waiting, sanctifying us when beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. God works in our waiting. What an incredibly comforting thought. When we think, I'm just standing around here waiting and nothing's going on, God is working for you. God is active in unseen ways like yeast. While we wait, God works. How encouraging is that? That's how God operates. Obscurity is a great starting point if God is present. Obscurity is a great starting point if God is present. You see, he took Moses from tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Moses, shepherd, and said, come on, you're going to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Pharaoh was the top guy. Moses was in obscurity, but God took him. Same for David. He was in the field looking after the sheep. And all the other brothers were lined up as potential kings. His own father lined up all the other brothers and thought, these guys could be king over Israel, but not David, because just forget about him. He's in irrelevance, forgotten about, ignored in the field, not ignored by God. Even though David was in obscurity, God saw him, God picked him, God used him to be king over Israel. Obscurity is a great starting point if God is present. And do you remember when Joseph was put in prison? And he interpreted the dreams in prison. He was a help to the cupbearer and to the baker. And he said to the cupbearer, you know, when you go to the king, don't and interpret the dreams, don't forget about me. Remember me. And the cupbearer forgot about him for two whole years, but not God. The Lord was with Joseph in prison. If God is present, we don't need other people to acknowledge us. We don't need other people to make much of us. We don't need other people to believe in us, compliment us, promote us, or you know, share their hopes with us. We don't need other people to be confident in us. If God is with us, that is all we need. The hope of transformation is real because it's His power that brings about the change in my life and the change in your life. His power, not the acknowledgement of other people. And as the Spirit of God enters a human life, it might enter in a small way, even just this morning, you open your heart again to the Holy Spirit. And it might seem like something really small, but a Spirit grows in you, changing your appetites, your desires, putting to death your desire for sin, and fanning in the flame a passion for the name of Jesus. And sure, it's a small start this morning, but if that continues to grow, and it will continue to grow in you, what is possible? John the Baptist prayed, I must decrease, He must increase. And that should be our prayer, that we would decrease and the Holy Spirit of God would increase in us, develop in us a passion and enthusiasm for the kingdom of God. Kingdom people have access to an incredible source to deal with bitterness. Because bitterness creeps in when we think, I deserve better. Someone else didn't acknowledge me. Someone else didn't pay me the attention or respect that I'm due. We have incredible access to power that says, God sees you. God needs you. God knows you. He knows your needs. You don't need to be acknowledged by anyone. It doesn't matter that you feel insignificant to other people. You matter to God. His eye is upon you. And He loves you. His Spirit is at work shaping your passions and priorities in your life right now. God sees the unseen. The author of Psalm 40 says this, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. When you're in a pit, it's obscurity. It's irrelevance. You're unseen. It's an undesirable location, no matter how you look at it, unless you see it from God's perspective, because He lifts people out of pits. Out of a muddy pit. God can reach you there. And the kingdom of heaven is like that. If you're in an unseen place, the yeast gets there. If you're hidden from view, you're not hidden from the yeast. Paul tells the Colossian church that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it had been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Colossians 1 and verse 6. Small beginnings, unlikely starting places, and hidden obscurities are commonplace in the story of God. You should be encouraged. The growth of the kingdom is gradual. But it's also guaranteed. The growth of the kingdom is not only gradual, it's also guaranteed. When you buy something on Amazon, you might get an email or a text message notification saying, we've received your order. And then you might get another email or you might get another text message saying, your order has been dispatched and will be with you in 2 days' time, 3 days' time. Whenever you place the order, it will tell you this is when it's going to arrive. You might need to pay extra if you need it in a hurry, if you've forgotten someone's birthday, or you're in a panic for something and you need next day delivery and you got to pay extra, and it will say, we guarantee that you will have it by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. You get a text message warning you in advance that they promise to deliver on a certain date. They're guaranteeing that you will have that item in your house and in your possession within a day or two. Jesus guarantees the arrival of the kingdom of God on your doorstep. He says the yeast makes it all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. It gets everywhere. It's going to arrive on your doorstep. What began in obscurity ends up in total dominance. It gets everywhere, all through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is guaranteed to arrive in your life and mine. in your world and mine. You will be forced to make a response to Jesus no matter who you are. One way or another, you will respond to him. Philippians, in Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, he says this, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will acknowledge one day that Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. No matter what you think about the place of Christianity today, no matter what you think about the church in Northern Ireland or the church in the UK, no matter what you think about Christian belief at this time, no matter how fearful you may be, God has guaranteed that one day everyone will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Remember the words that Jesus spoke to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. The yeast gets everywhere. No place untouched by the message of Jesus Christ. Your witness will get everywhere. Think about that for a minute. Think about how the witness of Carnmoney is spread throughout the world. We have a young adult called Lynette Given, who has been around the church maybe for just a couple of years. She helped serve in the coffee bar, and she made friendships in our pastorate, and she's a quiet girl, real encourager, not an up-the-front person. And God's called her to go to Madagascar. And she's using the gifts and talents and skills that she has in Madagascar on the mercy ships. Like, I don't even really sure where Madagascar is. But her influence that she has had among us, the influence that other people have had upon her in this church, has been taken to Madagascar, the things that people said to her in pastorate. So the work of Carnmoney Church is influencing what's happening on mercy ships in Madagascar. We've got Simon Fleming, one of our young adults in Virginia at a camp in America, and Lindsay and Japhet, and little Mike will be returning to Abuja. People who are among us are being scattered throughout the globe. It's just one local church. And as you return from here today, you're going to your neighborhood, and I'm going to my neighborhood with knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the yeast is getting everywhere. You're going to your workplace. You're going to your sphere of influence with your friends. You're out for dinner. You're talking to your relatives, and I'm talking to mine. Maybe you think, well, I'm only one follower of Jesus, and if truth be told, I'm not a great witness. I want to say to you, be encouraged. Jesus was a nobody in comparison to Roman authorities. The disciples were unschooled, uneducated, ordinary men. They were nothing in comparison to the powers and rulers and authorities of their day. They were nothing in comparison to the intellectual elite. But you and I are Christians today because of them, because of their witness to Jesus Christ that spread across the globe. People in Carnmoney know about Jesus because of these unschooled, ordinary men. You might be thinking, what's the point? Why bother? Could I have any influence at all? I mean, Christianity is so outdated and unpopular today. I look like an idiot. Don't believe the lies of our culture. Don't believe the lies of the television. Don't believe the lies of the radio chat shows. God has not only guaranteed the delivery of the kingdom of God to every doorstep, he's promised it success. He's promised it success. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture that's a real encouragement in times of ministry when things are tough or when things haven't gone so well, when things feel like they're a failure, comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, and he says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Gospel ministry works. The message of Jesus works. It counts. The kingdom will stand when other rulers and powers have gone, when Stormont collapses and Mourinho is sacked. Jesus will still be on the throne. There's no speculation about who's going to be on the throne tomorrow, who's going to take his place. No one can take his place. You'd be a fool to give in to public opinion, a fool to go with the flow on the chat show, a fool to be bullied or persuaded into taking the opinion of today because you're afraid of being unpopular. Your labor for Jesus Christ is not in vain. He is on the throne. He was on the throne. He will be on the throne. There is a throne above the thrones and a kingdom above the kingdom. Success is guaranteed. The resurrection of Jesus Christ reveals that, promises that, guarantees that. Nothing can put an end to his purposes and plans. Paul uses guarantee type talk when he speaks of the work of the kingdom and discipleship. He says, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. The yeast gets everywhere. My school reports made interesting reading. I used to have stuff that said to me all the time, you know, uncompleted work. He was distracted, didn't complete, but not the work of Jesus Christ. He always completes what he starts. So if God has begun a work in you, he will complete it. He will make you like himself. Just as we finish, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says this, Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But what we know, that when Christ Jesus appears, we shall be like him. You will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's possible today, and you're here, and you're not where you want to be. You feel like you're in obscurity. You feel like you haven't made much progress. I want to say to you, the yeast will work through the whole of the dough. You will be like him. Maybe physically, maybe in your career, maybe in your family, things are not as they should be. I want to say you're seen by Jesus. You're acknowledged by him, and his purposes are not in doubt. He is on the throne, and he will be on the throne. There are no unreachable areas or hearts. The yeast gets everywhere. The kingdom of God is like that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence and give you thanks for the encouragement that we find in your word. We pray that you would fill us with hope. Help us to know your presence with us in these moments, to know your knowledge of us and to be filled with confidence that you're on the throne. Give us courage, Lord God, to stand up for you in a day of opposition and to be able to go against the crowd, against the flow, with real hope in your power, in your rule, and in the knowledge that one day every knee will bow. In Jesus' name, amen.